Michael Savage Show contains adult language, adult content, psychological nudity. Listener discretion is advised.
And now, America's most exciting radio talk show, The Savage Nation. Here is Michael Savage.
Savage Nation, Michael Savage said this.
The issue is John McCain saying that the cartoon of Obama wearing a turban and Mrs. Obama with the afro and the AK is offensive. It's supposed to be offensive, you idiot. That's what a caricaturist is supposed to do. Provoke reaction, schmuck. That's what talk shows are supposed to do. Provoke thought. Provoke reaction, schmuck. We're not supposed to be smooth jazz. We're supposed to be John Coltrane. We're supposed to make the audience cry and laugh and be moved, schmuck. That's what art is. That's what poetry is, schmuck. It's not supposed to be smooth jazz. It's supposed to be jazz. You're supposed to hear us and be reactive to us. You're supposed to hear us and be moved by us one way or the other, John. And if you find it impolite, the cartoon of Obama, it's too damn bad. You live in America, you don't live in Syria, John. And if you start to sound more like Eleanor Roosevelt than you do like Teddy Roosevelt, I got news for you, John. There's a Buick dealership in Mongolia waiting for you.
What will he say on the Savage Nation today? Stay tuned in the continuing serial called The Savage Nation.
And welcome to The Savage Nation. I'm Michael Savage. I'm here on my microphone, and my mascot, Teddy, is on his poodle phone right here on the couch in the studio. Teddy and Michael are ready to give you the show of the day, and I have a disclosure to make today that is not well known in the media, but it's going to be well known in about 30 seconds or less. Now, we know that Fannie Mae and Fannie Mac are declining in valuation. We also know that there are scam companies. We also know that the government never should have privatized them. They were privatized to permit the pirates to steal money from the American taxpayer by selling various things and making profits off them. Today, we were shocked to find out who the political activists are who were awarded by being given Fannie Mae and Fannie Mac as their private bank. Here are some of the names. You ready? Because you're not going to believe it. It's on michaelsavage.com, the website. And guess where I got it from? The left-wing National Public Radio website. But here it comes. Does the name Jamie Gorelick ring a bell? Deputy Attorney General under President Bill Clinton? Former Defense Department General Counsel, member of the 9/11 Commission, that great cover-up commission, the Whitewash Commission. Jamie Gorelick is on the board. She's the former vice chairwoman of Fannie Mae. Does the name Louis J. Free ring a bell? He's a board member of Fannie Mae, director of the FBI under Bill Clinton. Now, there are other names on here, and there's no implication of wrongdoing, of course. There's other stand-up individuals like Harold Ickes, former board member, advisor to President Clinton and Senator Hillary Clinton, member of the DNC. There's the upstanding, wonderful Representative Rahm Emanuel, former board member of Freddie Mac, senior advisor to President Clinton, former chairman of the DNC, chairman of the House Democratic Caucus. So if you look at the individuals on the list, you will see individuals who have pasts that are questionable in some regard. Jamie Gorelick, for example, grew up in Great Neck, New York. Now, unto itself, that's not questionable. She attended South High School. She obtained her BA, went to Harvard, and she was a Radcliffe orator and a JD from Harvard Law. Very bright girl, smart. Huh, you should only know what a smart girl her parents have here. Cum laude from Harvard. Huh, you could die from her. So instead of taking her collective genius of millions of years of evolution, think of it, the ice ages, the volcanoes, the pogroms that her ancestors went through, all to produce this genius who went to Harvard. She gets the JD from Harvard Law, and look what she has done with it. What has she done with it? Well, under the Clinton administration, Jamie Gorelick served as general counsel of the Department of Defense from 93 to 94. Nothing wrong with that. And then Gorelick served as vice chairman of the Federal National Mortgage Association from 97 to 03. What happens to all good idealists, it seems, is they suddenly get the knowledge that there's money out there to be made, and they usually switch from defense to prosecution, as it were. I knew a few of these along the way. I met them. Years ago, I met a guy who was a great tennis player who went to a great law school, who was once a lawyer for the indigent, the poor. Soon enough, though, he became a defense attorney for drug dealers because he found out where the money was. He found out the poor didn't have sacks of money, but the drug dealers did. It's just the way of the world. Now, I'm not saying she worked for anything negative like that, but then she went on to do other wonderful things, Jamie Gorelick. The Gorelick wall barred anti-terror investigators from accessing the computer of Zacharias Massui, the 20th hijacker already in custody on an immigration violation. So in other words, she, Jamie Gorelick, took the side of the terrorists. In February of 06, Jamie Gorelick was added to Duke University's defense team, defending the university against the individuals who were falsely accused, both by Duke University and the Durham Dirtbags. She took the side not of the young men whose lives were ruined, but of the university was ruining their lives. Gorelick has served on the boards of the John D. and Catherine T. MacArthur Foundation, the well-known genius grants that are never given to geniuses, but are given to hacks who usually have university appointments. She worked for the Washington Legal Clinic for the Homeless and the Carnegie Endowment for International Peace, which is, of course, a left-wing think tank. Now it gets interesting. Jamie Gorelick was appointed vice chairman of FNMA from 97 to 03. She served alongside former Clinton administration official Franklin Raines and earned over $26 million during her 6 years there. See, now suddenly all of the ancestors' genius starts to pay off. $26 million is not, you know, not a small amount of money. So she earned $26 million from 97 to 03. And during that very period, this federal agency, FNMA, remember now, follow the bouncing ball. During the period that she worked with FNMA and earned $26 million, this governmental agency developed a $10 billion accounting scandal. Did you hear what I just said to you? One example of falsified financial transactions that helped the company meet earnings targets for 98 was a manipulation that triggered multi-million dollar bonuses for top executives, according to those who have studied Gorelick. Gorelick received $779,000. On March 25, 2002, Business Week interviewed Gorelick about the health of Fannie Mae. Gorelick is quoted as saying, quote, "We believe we are managed safely. We are very pleased that Moody's gave us an A- in the area of bank financial strength without a reference to the government in any way. Fannie Mae is among the handful of top quality institutions," she said, close quote. 1 year later, government regulators accused Fannie Mae of improper accounting to the tune of $9 billion in unrecorded losses. Now, this is one individual who's on the board, former vice chairwoman of Fannie Mae. Robert Zoellick, former executive vice president, former deputy secretary of state of U.S. trade rep under President Bush, currently president of the World Bank, also Fannie Mae. Louis Frey, former FBI director, also Fannie Mae. Freddie Mac, who's on that one? Harold Ickes, Rahm Emanuel, Dennis DeConcini, former board member, U.S. senator from Arizona. Wonderful, upstanding individuals all. Then why are Fannie Mae and Freddie Mac in free fall? I'll let you decide. Look at the story. Who's been running Fannie Mae and Fannie Mac? Jamie Gorelick and Louis Frey, amongst others. Top right story, michaelsavage.com. Top left story, SEC to limit short sales of Fannie and Freddie brokers. Now, you may say, gee, that's good. The SEC chairman, Christopher Cox, the upstanding Dick Tracy, Republican stalwart of George Bush, who left the congressional seat to head up the SEC, whose job it was to stop this from happening, but in fact he didn't do his job, in my opinion. After the foxes have eaten the chickens, the farmer Christopher Cox says he will install new chicken wire. So Christopher Cox tells the Senate Banking Committee that the SEC will issue an order today imposing a, listen to this word, listen to this government speak. He's going to issue an order imposing a, quote, pre-borrower requirement, unquote, on short sales in the mortgage financing companies and Wall Street firms. And what would this requirement do? It would prohibit the practice known as naked short selling, in which traders avoid the financial burden of borrowing shares when betting they'll fall. In other words, they actually have to put up some collateral. Do you understand what I'm saying to you? Christopher Cox permitted them to trade in mortgage-backed securities without putting down a dime. They were using other people's money. In other words, it was a giant Ponzi scheme. And now we're supposed to believe that Dick Tracy, Christopher Cox, because he says he's going to put up chicken wire now, that he's actually taking control of the chickens inside the coop. The chickens are all dead. They've been eaten. But that's not good enough for some of the gangsters on Wall Street. One of them said, I don't think the government should ban short selling in anything as long as it's fully disclosed, as long as there's no manipulation. Well, by definition, short selling is a manipulation, schmuck. And then he adds, he says, don't we want the market to work here? See, that's the old Rush Limbaugh line. That's the old Limbaugh line that many of you have bought lock, stock, and oil barrel, which is that there's actually a free market. I believe in free market economics. I sure do. But this is not the free market at all. This is market manipulation. This is monopoly capitalism of a piratical level. It's on the level of pirates running a cruise ship as opposed to a cruise directors running a cruise ship. You've got pirates on Wall Street. Now, I know that economic topics usually blow an audience away, so I'm going to move away from this right now. I have disclosed thus far, guess who's been running Fannie Mae and Fannie Mac? I have disclosed to you that I believe the SEC limiting short sales is nonsense. They're putting in chicken wire after the chickens are all dead. There are other stories that I think you will react to. And one of them is that Canada is going to send back U.S. military deserters. That's right. All of the guys who fled, these are guys who enlisted in the military. And then when they were deployed to Iraq, they fled to Canada thinking it was Vietnam. And so for the sake of the listening audience, we need to play how many. Can you play Joni, whatever her name is, Baez? Joni Baez? There's Joni. I want you to play some period music. There you go. Put it in the context. Yay. All right, put it on. So she was the Pied Piper of the left in the 60s. You know, how many, blah, 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 blah. And the kids all ran to Canada, and they were given rewards. They married some ugly broad from a bookstore in Vancouver. And then they had three sick children, and now they go to work for Obama and his campaign, hoping that finally the revolution will be seen and SDS will triumph. But the point is that it's not the 1960s, and Canada has said, get out of my country. We're not going to house you. What do you think about the fact that Canada is going to send back U.S. military deserters? But wait, I'm not ready for my first break. No, I'm not. Here's another question for you, which has been left off my notes for the Savage Nation for today. It's a good thing I have a memory that is infallible. It's a good thing I have a steel trap for a mind when I want to use it. Most of the time I don't want to use it. It's too painful. But I'll use it right now. Can you explain to me why McCain, as wooden and as tin manish as he is, let's put it tin manish, as tin manish as McCain is, as disrespectful as he is to his base, why is McCain surging ahead of Obama in the polls? And wait a minute, hold on now. Conversely, why is Obama slipping in the polls? This is the Savage Nation. Savage and Teddy will be right back. Be here.
Savage.
How many times must the cannonballs fly before they're forever burned? The answer, my friend, is
written in the wind.
The answer is
written in the wind.
All right, Johnny, very good. Let me hear one more plaintive cry from the liberal heart. Boo-hoo.
Before it's washed.
How come they didn't write any boo-hoo songs about 9/11 and the Americans who died shut her off already. Shut off this songbird. How come I didn't hear any screaming, crying about how many Americans must die before Islamofascism is finally crushed? How come they only, like, cried about the enemy from the beginning to the end? Answer. The answer, my friend, is can be found in the wind. The answer, my friend, is going to be found when Obama goes to Germany. I mean, when Obama goes to Germany, nicht ich bin ein Berliner, I can guarantee you when he's in Germany. What's he going to try and do, the Kennedy speech with the big flappy ears? Is he kidding? This guy is so out of his league, and that's why he's collapsing, by the way. The more America sees him, the more they realize he is simply out of his league. He is not presidential material. Now, that's not to say that John McCain, the tinnish character from Alice in Wonderland, Tin Man, is such a wonderful candidate. But by comparison, it's like night and day. So when Obama gets to Berlin, I guess he'll give Ich bin ein Red Brigadist. That which should be basically his background. Because if you don't know who the Red Brigades are, you can't even have this conversation with me. I can guarantee you that most of Obama's mentors from the time he was in college through law school and still to this day were sympathetic to the Red Brigades and the SDS, their former members of the Students for Democratic Society, who were stone-hearted Stalinists. I can guarantee it. And we can name them by names. It's not that hard to figure out. New York, John, you're on the Savage Nation topic. Please go ahead.
Yeah, you know, the thing with McCain is I wouldn't get so upset if he was kissing up to legal Latin Americans. He wasn't condoning illegals by kissing up to the legal Latin Americans, you know? I mean,
he wasn't. What he was doing was espousing the rhetoric of LULAC and La Raza, and they do not support legal Hispanic immigration. They support illegal Hispanic immigration because it's good for their membership drive. You understand that it's all about money?
No, I understand that, but he wasn't doing that.
He wasn't doing what?
He wasn't condoning illegals. He was just...
Sure he was. No, I think you're wrong, John. McCain has clearly said he wants to legalize the illegals. That's his official position. He has never said he's going to crack down on illegal aliens. In fact, the opposite is what he's saying. Both him and Obama, by the way, are on the same page with illegal aliens. You know, there's one factor in all of this discussion that's very unemotional, and that's called the fact of reality. Can you explain to me that if John McCain keeps giving these speeches at La Raza and LULAC about the wonders of immigration, why he never mentions the one salient fact that 30% of all prisoners in jails in the United States of America are illegal aliens who did not come here to work but came here to rape, to rob, to murder, and to do horrible things. That's why they committed felonies, and that's why they're in prison. One out of three prisoners is an illegal alien. How come no one talks about that every time they give these flowery speeches full of honey about the wonders of immigration?
I hear what you're saying, but if he does, it's like one law-abiding legal immigrant probably knows one illegal criminal. So he's got to be very touchy.
I am not saying all illegals are bad. I have never said that. I am not immune to reality. They're lovely people. They're kind people, most of them. They're quiet and mind their own business, and they work hard, and they're family-oriented. That is not what we are talking about. We are talking about a nation whose lifeboats are full. And if we take any more on a lifeboat, we all sink. Do you get it?
Savage.
It is the Savage Nation. So my fax rings during the break, and I knew what it was. It's this jerk. I'd like to catch this person and charge him for the reams of paper. For years, I've been getting go to Cancun for $2.99. Who is this guy? Why can't they stop this person? If I go away on vacation, there's 500. Every fax machine, Cancun or the Riviera, $2.99 includes a turista and one visit to an emergency room. A one day. Who is this guy who does this? Why can't the government stop him? I didn't even have to look. I knew it was him. Then it says call a number, they'll take you off the list. I know what happens then. Forget about it. So here we are. There's a lot in the news, but I'm already through with the news. Now I'm going to have fun. I disclosed that Louis Free, I was wondering where he was. The former FBI director was on Fannie Mae, board member. They go where the money is, you know. Willie Sutton wasn't too far from... Willie Sutton had it right. When Willie Sutton, the famous bank robber of the 50s, was caught, finally... They said to him, Willie, why'd you rob banks? He says, I go where the money is. So, you know, politicians learned from Willie Sutton in that regard. So what more is there to say? What more is there to say is that if we had a legitimate government, they'd all be in jail, these crooks. How's that? Does that work for you? Let me remind you, a government is supposed to protect the people, not exploit the people. And when a government is so boll-weaveled with crooks from the top to the bottom, and there is no one watching the chicken coops, and the chickens have all been eaten, who do we turn to? Tell me who's going to protect you. The head of the SEC, who let this go on, now jumps in, Christopher Cox, and says, I'm going to put in new chicken wire after the chickens have been eaten. Are they kidding me? How did he let this happen? People were screaming, stop it 2 years ago. We have the evidence. And he did nothing. So I don't know. I don't know where this all ends. You know, I have to tell you a story that's somewhat, it's hard to explain. In France, in the 19th century, there was a terrible affair called the Dreyfus Affair, where a general, a Jewish general, was falsely accused of disloyalty to France. And the trial was trumped up, and poor Dreyfus was sent to Devil's Island. And remember, he wasn't a traitor. They made it up because they were anti-Semitic. And that was the Dreyfus affair. And it took years for him to clear his name. We, on the other hand, have governmental officials who actually are guilty, who are not being tried and convicted and sent to Devil's Island. Do you understand that? We have numerous real Dreyfuses, again, in context, hope you understand what I just said, who should be tried right now for what they're doing to this economy of ours, to the Water Wall Street, to the banking industry, to the mortgage industry. Why are they not being prosecuted? Why aren't 100 of these crooks arrested today? You know, you got thousands of people outside a bank in Southern California. Why isn't the FBI putting handcuffs on the people who made this happen? Where are they? Look inside Freddie Mac and Freddie Mae. Fannie Mae and Freddie Mac. I just love names like that. You know, whenever I heard they named it Freddie and Fannie, I knew they were robbing me. Whenever anyone comes up with a cute name, it's like a grown man who's called like Bernie. I never trust anyone with a name like Bernie. His name is Bernard. When he wants me to know him as Bernie, I know he's looking to put his hand in my pocket. It's like, what's his name? Sox, the lawyer for Clinton, who got caught stealing stuff out of the National Archives. Sandy Berger. What grown man wants to be known as Sandy? Unless he's trying to pull the wool over your eyes and stick his finger in your pocket. His name isn't Sandy, a grown man. After the age of 13, you're not Sandy anymore. You're Sanford. So whenever I hear cute, I know that something terrible's coming. Talking about terrible, I can't even watch TV anymore. I'm trained in science. I'm proud to tell you I've always loved science because I felt, look, and get away from politics and see what's real in chemistry in particular. You know, an atom is an atom, an element is an element, and then basically there's no fudging. It's not political science. Either it is silver or it isn't silver. Either it is gold, it is lead, it is antimony, it is copper, or it isn't. And that's why chemistry always appealed to me, and true for all of science, because when you can reduce things to their simplest terms and come to what they really are, you don't have any doubts in your mind. So I've always enjoyed science, both as a kid and even as an adult. I can't watch it anymore. Every time I turn on a science channel now or National Geographic, they've taken science to such an extent that they tell me the world's coming to an end. Last night I put on National Geographic about the Earth, some series of some British guy. You know, he's got a good racket, a good delivery. Basically, the Earth is coming to an end. Travels all over the world, and either a meteorite's going to wipe us out, or we're going to go by the way of the dinosaurs, or a stalagmite, or a human stalagmite. I never saw anything like this. I don't know how I sleep when I watch this stuff. I'm starting to detest science shows. Every science show is about the end of the world. It's all coming to an end. Unless I give up my car personally, the world is going to die because the polar ice caps are going to melt, and then the underwater current that is generated by ice falling into the sea in the Arctic will come to an end, and all of climate on the Earth will end and will burn up. What in the world is wrong with these people? So, you know, when you watch a show like this, you think, these organisms are millions of years old, and this animal predated the dinosaur, and he disappeared. They lived here during a great warming period, you know, a horny-like lizard that was a million feet tall or whatever. And then man has only been here for a breath, a mini breath in a geological time, and blah, 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 and we're about to disappear because we don't listen to Al Gore and pay him for carbon credits. How much of this can a person take from morning till night? In the morning, it's the banking crisis, and at night, the Earth's coming to an end. Well, so the point is, what do you do about it? Well, it goes back to Eve. Once Eve ate of the apple, and once Eve got the apple of knowledge, she fell from the Garden of Eden. In a way, we're all Eve. In a way, we are all Eve with the internet and with the dissemination of so many facts. We are all Eve eating the apple on a daily basis and no longer able to take the idea, to handle the idea. The ideas that are coming at us, I don't know how the people take it without a nervous breakdown. And it goes to why a charlatan like Obama can be so popular with weak-minded individuals, such as the folks who think he's a shaman, where he says he can cure all problems, fix illnesses, heal you. The man may as well run a Lourdes Cathedral as much as what he's running now. He is not supernatural. He's not superhuman. But the people are frightened, and in times like this, charlatans like Obama will appear. And that's why weak-minded individuals, and I'm talking about outside of the normal demographic that would vote for him. That would be the hardcore Democrat. That would be the communist revolutionary. That would be the socialist revolutionary. That would be the black power revolutionaries. Those would be the radical feminists, the radical homosexuals. I mean, the standard characters of the far left, of course, want a guy like him. But then there's a whole slew of other weak-minded individuals who are starting to think, gee, maybe he can save us. Maybe he can save us. And that's because he is coming across not so much as a politician, but as a messiah-like figure. But the longer we look at him, and the less we see him with the fake halo that was created by Reuters. Have you noticed every time they show him on CNN, they show him under a shiny O around his head to give him that aura. It's almost embarrassing to witness this stuff. But the more we see him, we see basically a gangly teenager who is so over his head that it's frightening. And then we look on the other side, and what do we see? We see the creaky, groany tin man who needs to be oiled. And you don't know which way to turn, so, you know, I'll leave it to you. I'm not endorsing anybody. Here's a health topic. By the way, I put health topics on michaelsavage.com because it's a field I've worked in for so many years and I'm interested in it. Diet better than statins or statins and kids' cholesterol control. Can you believe that the criminals in the medico-pharmaceutical industry a few weeks ago have said that they're going to prescribe anti-cholesterol drugs to eight-year-olds? Do you realize what that means? Do you realize how corrupt these doctors are? Do you realize how corrupt the American Academy of Pediatrics is that they would announce recommendations to prescribe cholesterol-lowering statin drugs to obese children as young as eight? Do you realize what this means? Do you have any idea that these doctors are criminals? They're worse than Wall Street because they're screwing our children's lives up forever. Do you have any idea that they own doctors for less money than an Arab sheik would pay for a prostitute in Geneva, according to what I've read? One AAP panel member named Dr. Nicholas Stetler from the so-called Children's Hospital of Philadelphia said this. Listen to the stretch of reality. Quote, we know that in adults, decreasing cholesterol and giving some of those drugs decreases risk of heart disease or death. So there's really no reason to think that would be any different than children, close quote. Do you know what this means? There's not a scientific syllable in that sentence. Where did Dr. Stetler get the idea that just because it lowers cholesterol and decreases the risk of heart disease and death, which, by the way, is not true. I don't know if you know this. But there's not been one study that I know of, and correct me if I'm wrong, cite the study, that shows that cholesterol, anti-cholesterol drugs decrease the rate of death from heart attacks. Oh, they lower cholesterol for sure, but do they actually decrease the rate of death from heart disease? The last I checked, the answer was no. But now you're going to take that and apply it to children without any studies, without any clinical studies showing that reducing cholesterol levels in children will lower their risk of death? It's insanity. The fact of the matter is fish oils, red yeast rice, and other lifestyle changes may reduce cholesterol levels by the same amount as a daily statin pill or statin pill, a whopping 42% drop in LDL cholesterol levels simply from what? Fish oils, red yeast rice, and other lifestyle changes. The medical pharmaceutical complex is far more dangerous than the government media complex. That's why I continue to talk about nutrition. That is why I dedicated myself to writing Healing Children Naturally. That is why it's available to you. And again, it will not change my lifestyle. If a million copies sold tomorrow, I wouldn't change my lifestyle. I'd still be wearing the same ripped T-shirt that I'm wearing right now. I wouldn't move from the house I'm in. I wouldn't buy another car. I wouldn't buy another meal. So don't think I'm trying to sell you a book. I'm trying to sell you something that can save your child's life. And I'm trying to save you from the grips of these rotten, corrupt individuals who sell you this garbage. So I want to go on. I don't want to do nutrition. The article's on michaelsavage.com. I linked it up from a beverage journal that I get every week. There's another health article. Black tea extract may offer heart benefits. Not as well as green tea. Green tea is amazing. The phytochemicals in green tea are real. Many of you are skeptical, and I don't blame you for being skeptical. In 1982, I published The Skeptical Nutritionist, published by Macmillan. That's long before most of my critics were born. But The Skeptical Nutritionist covered many of my, let us say, hesitancies about the health food industry. But green tea is amazing. Green tea is amazing. But black tea works pretty well, too. I never forget, I once went to Fiji with a friend who later became a quack doctor for Kaiser Hospital. And he got he ate a goat curry, and he got the dysentery. So he's laying in the room moaning and, you know, defecating in the bed, sick as a dog. What should I do? What should I do? I said, well, drink some black tea. I'll get you black tea. She said, no, it won't work. It won't work. Blah, blah, blah. I said, drink the black tea. It won't work. It won't work. Black tea, within a few hours, it tightened up his stool. She says to me, it doesn't make sense that it would work. I said, doesn't make sense. Why not? He said, well, because the tannins are broken down before they reach the small intestine. I said, tell that to the person that told you it won't work, my friend. Your anatomy is backwards. The fact of the matter is that tannic acid is a powerful antibacterial. It also kills many other microorganisms. So your grandmother was right in drinking a lot of tea. Tannins are very powerful killers of intestinal parasites as well. The tannins uncouple parasites in your digestive system. Again, I'm not selling you any product. It's just so interesting to me that science is so interesting, and science up until recently was very productive. Now, as I say to you, you turn on Nat Geo, and every night a comet's about to hit. The ice caps are about to melt, and we're going to lose our climate. We're going to become hoary toads, H-O-A-R-Y, toads. We're going to have to grow like skin like a lizard to survive. What is wrong with these people? How has an entire generation been so brainwashed into fear and gloom? I'll be right back.
Savage.
Negative, 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 negative. Guilt, guilt, guilt. White guilt, white guilt. I have no white guilt. I'm the son of an immigrant. I owe you nothing. Work, study, strive. I owe you nothing. I pay 50 cents in every dollar to support the bums of this country. I've broken streets to pay for it. And a body bag if someone wants to take a shot at somebody. Because the police are afraid to do their jobs. Not that they're not capable of it, but they're afraid of doing their jobs because they'll wind up losing their jobs. Because of the lawyers. So don't tell me about white guilt. I have no white guilt. There's not a black person in this country who has personally suffered from slavery, and yet that racket, they're continuing. Black racket, 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 racket. I owe you nothing. How's that? Does that clear the balance sheet? You owe me something. How's that? Does that work for you? And it's the same thing with this global warming nonsense. So it's controversial? How come you never see the media talking about the 20,000 scientists who signed a letter saying that man-induced global warming is not responsible for the slight uptick in warming that we see? It's due to volcanic activity. It's due to sunspots. Of course we all don't want pollution on the planet. What sane person would want to see factories built in pristine wilderness areas? I don't. I'm a boater. I probably spend more time in the outdoors than most of the so-called Golame high heel liberals like Barbara Boxer. I doubt she's ever been on a boat on the bay other than to collect money for some kind of a fundraiser. I know about the birds in the bay. I've been an environmentalist, or you want to call it a conservationist, all of my life. I don't need to be lectured to. But every day it's about I owe somebody something. My lifestyle is wrong. I have to go back to the buggy whip. What is this all about? How did this Western civilization of ours fall into such a hole? How did this happen? Answer. For 30 years, the academics have been teaching children in school to use pot, have as much sex with as many people as possible, be a moron with an open mind so I can fill you with rubbish, and then I will sell you false science so you can go out and destroy America. That's where it came from. It's also related to the empty churches and the empty synagogues. When you don't have faith in God, a void opens up inside your soul, your being, whichever way you want to put it. And into that void, many things can come, and many things do come. Drugs come, charlatans arrive, disease arrives. In fact, if you believe in Christian Science, and I'm not a Christian Scientist, but I have studied many of the world's religions, and one of the wonderful things about Christian Science is that they actually believe in a form of faith healing, which is that by not believing in God, your body is open to, let us put it to you this way, the invasion of an opportunistic organism. And when you do fill your being with God, many of these organisms are driven out of your body. I mean, I'm giving you the psychology of how this works, which makes sense to me, by the way, in what I've seen in the world. And I've been around some amazing healers in the years I spent in the islands, the Fiji Islands, Tonga, Samoa, the Marquesas, Palmyra. I've been through many of those islands collecting medicinal plants and sitting at the feet of women healers. And I've seen amazing things happen through so-called faith healing and herbal medicine. Much of which can be explained by Western science, and some of which cannot be explained by Western science. There are mystical elements in disease and healing. That's all I can say to you. And everybody who's religious knows that. That's why prayer has been shown to work, for example, amongst the severely, the terminally ill even. But I don't want to get into that area. I want to say to you that the lack of God, the lack of faith, has opened up millions of people to the charlatans like Obama and Al Gore and their followers. That's basically the point I'm making. Toledo, Ohio, Kathy, quickly, you're on the Savage Nation.
I am truly honored, Michael, in answering to your last break. It is lack of God. I just got off of homeschooling my daughter for 3 years.
Mm-hmm.
And science, the reason why you've got these dummy rummies is no God. Great men of old were spurred by the word of God to look into the world. That's what we were told. This is your
That's
world.
Right. The mystery of it all. In fact, Albert Einstein, one of the great minds of the last century, said that the more he penetrated the perimeters of the universe, the more he realized there had to be a creator. I've said that to atheists on this show. They don't believe it, but check out Einstein's writings. The more he investigated the outer perimeters of his own knowledge, the more he realized there had to be a creator. It couldn't be chance. Now, you say that, you tell that to people, they don't believe you because they show the poster of him in college with the wild hair and the tongue hanging out, and they make it look like Albert Einstein was a crackhead. That's what the libs have done to Albert Einstein. And then they make Che Guevara, a bloodthirsty murderer, look like a hero, like a Robin Hood. Che Guevara was a bloodthirsty killer, and they make him into a Robin Hood. So it's a brainwashing, that's all. 1-800-449-8255, michaelsavage.com. What a day, what a day, what a day. Fannie Mae, Fannie Mac, look out, they're coming to get you. How come none of them are indicted? How come none of the board members of Fannie Mae and Fannie Mac are now in a pair of handcuffs, being given a perp walk into a police cruiser? Why? Answer, because they own the government. Why? They are the government. So therefore, who looks out for us? Answer, nobody. It's the Wild West, my friends. Nobody looks out for you. Nobody. Not me. Nobody in radio can do anything. Fundamentally, it all has to settle itself out. How it settles out, I don't know. I don't know. We have guys from Wall Street to take the job as a Treasury Secretary. Why would they leave a job that pays them $80, $100 million a year to make $200,000 a year? Boy, you can't figure that one out. Why would someone run for the Senate seat and they have to spend $60 to $100 million to be a U.S. Senator to make $300,000 a year with benefits? Answer, shopping carts.
Savage.
Warning. The Michael Savage Show contains adult language, adult content, psychological nudity. Listener discretion is advised.
And now, America's most exciting radio talk show, The Savage Nation. Here is Michael Savage.
Entire adult life to help build an America where social justice is being served and economic justice mm-hmm. is being served.
Mm-hmm.
An America where we all have an equal chance to make it if we try. That's mm-hmm. the America I believe in, and that's the America that you believe in. That's the
Hold
America-
on, wait a minute. Obama, who doesn't believe in that? Do you know anyone who doesn't believe in that? So what's your point? Listen to the rest of this rhetoric.
ACP has been fighting for over these past 99 years. And that's
wait a minute,
the America
wait, whoa, whoa. So you mean the NAACP now, their agenda is going to be Obama's agenda? That's very interesting that he admitted that. Where does he go from there? Play the rest of it.
Our work is not over. Just electing me president doesn't mean our work is over. We are going to guarantee health care for anyone who needs it. Make it affordable for anyone who wants it.
Mm-hmm.
Ensure that the quality of your health care does not depend on the color of your skin or where you live. And we are not going to wait 20 years from now to do it or 10 years from now to do it. We're going to do it by the end of my first term as president of the United States of America.
Well, Fidel Castro introduced universal health care in Cuba. And it's so wonderful that when Fidel got sick, he flew in a doctor from Spain. And the other leaders of the Cuban mafia who need health care go to Miami for a Jewish doctor. if they can get out of Cuba for the surgery. They don't use one of their homegrown doctors. But look, this is such rubbish. It isn't even worth talking about. We've heard it all before. There's nothing, you know, worthwhile talking about here. Somebody sent me an interesting list of statements this morning, and I'll take your calls in a minute on all the topics I touched on. I disclosed this on the Fannie Mae, Fannie Mac boards. I talked about Louis Frey and Gorelick, and, you know, it doesn't matter. Who's going to go look into whether they made money off it? Who's going to look into it? You? You're going to investigate it. Who's supposed to look into it? Probably someone else that was on the board, or they put him on another board. After they got off this board, they went on that board. They go from board to board, and they stuff their pockets, and that's the way it goes. Sometimes when I look at my children, I say to myself, Lillian, you should have remained a virgin. That's Lillian Carter, mother of Jimmy Carter. Mark Twain said, last week I stated this woman was the ugliest woman I'd ever seen. I've since been visited by her sister and now wish to withdraw that statement. George Burns said, the secret of a good sermon is to have a good beginning and a good ending and to have the two as close together as possible. Victor Borges said, Santa Claus has the right idea, visit people only once a year. Mark Twain said, be careful about reading health books, you may die of a misprint. Socrates is quoted as saying, by all means marry. If you get a good wife, you'll become happy. If you get a bad one, you'll become a philosopher. Groucho Marx said, I was married by a judge. I should have asked for a jury. Someone named Alex Levine said, only Irish coffee provides in a single glass all four essential food groups, alcohol, caffeine, sugar, and fat. Bob Hope said, I don't feel old. I don't feel anything until noon. Then it's time for my nap. I never drink water because of the disgusting things that fish do in it, said W.C. Fields. Will Rogers said, we could certainly slow the aging process down if it had to work its way through Congress. Winston Churchill said, don't worry about avoiding temptation as you grow older. It will avoid you. Phyllis Diller, whoever she is, said, maybe it's true that life begins at 50, but everything else starts to wear out, fall out, or spread out. And that's it. And they're all on their aphorisms on michaelsavage.com, 1-800-449-8255. So I touched on many a different topic, including the corruption in the political system, the corruption in the medical system, the corruption in science, where the pediatrics mavens are now prescribing statins for eight-year-olds, which to me is a criminal act. They should be arrested. Orange jumpsuits for any doctor who says that. Pair of handcuffs to see how many dollars were sent to them by the drug companies. Handcuffs for 10 years for doing that to children. I'll take your calls on this and any other topic. Biloxi, Mississippi. Scott, welcome to the Savage Nation.
Hey, Mike. I've been watching a lot of these science shows on TV for a while, and I agree with you, man. Everything has just gotten so bad as far as global warming is going to kill us all. Watch the same show as you watched last night. Wasn't it terrible?
Yeah, the Nat Geo show, and it's visually, I have the HD, you know, hookup on the cable, and it's visually extremely well done. You know, every scene change, the guy's in another part of the world in another piece of equipment doing interesting things. But his conclusions are all based upon the fact that gloom and doom were about to die. The best scene was when he was in the Arctic lake in Siberia next to a lake, a frozen lake. And he says the permafrost is melting and the soil from permafrost is falling to the bottom of the lake. It's deteriorating and releasing methane. If methane is released from a melted lake, it'll go into the atmosphere. And methane is 100 times more potent than carbon dioxide. Again, we're all going to die. Now, I don't know why he didn't tell us that over the last million years, the ice sheets have both expanded and retracted across the globe 10 times. It's estimated that over the last million years, ice sheets have spread down almost as far as the equator and then retracted almost to the Arctic pole itself. We're going through a phase of retraction right now, and we have to turn this into some kind of money-making scheme. That's the whole point. There are forces well beyond man's control, Scott.
Yeah, and we're also evolved from some things that were sticking there on the beach. How can
he said we evolved from some slimy bacteria. Did you like that one?
Yeah.
Now, I don't know about him, but I'm pretty sure I didn't evolve from that slimy bacteria that he claims to be his ancestors.
Yeah.
So, I mean, maybe he's talking about his ancestors, that they're the oldest creatures on Earth, and they're basically bacteria that produce a slime. They didn't look like my grandfather. Did they look like yours?
I don't know.
No, I mean, the pictures I have of my grandfather show a poor man working in a tailor shop. He didn't look like a slimy mold in Antarctica.
Yeah, I don't know what's
all on. Right, I get you. Look, sometimes you have to look at these people and realize they're trying to make something out of nothing. But you look at these shows, and the time, the geological time, is awesome. Then I pick up my Bible and I say, should I put this down? In the beginning, God created the heaven and the earth. Now the earth was unformed and void, and darkness was upon the face of the deep. And the Spirit of God hovered over the face of the waters. And God said, let there be light. And there was light. And God saw the light that it was good, and God divided the light from the darkness. And God called the light day, and the darkness he called night. And there was evening, and there was morning one day. Now, let us stop right there. To the atheist, this is all nonsense. This is rubbish for primitive people. It's an antiquated view of the world. The Bible was written for ancient olive growers who were randy and out of control. And the government of the time had to use some method of controlling them, so they invented a guy named God. And they talked about a burning bush. And they said, God's going to punish you unless you listen to us. And they wrote a whole book for the ancient olive growers called the Israelites to get these stiff-necked people under control, because they were doing it in the road. They were hippies, in essence. They felt, if it felt good, they did it. So there, have you forgotten the wicked deeds of your fathers and the wicked deeds of the kings of Judah and the wicked deeds of their wives and your own wicked deeds and the wicked deeds of your wives and the way they committed in the land of Judah and the streets of Jerusalem? They are not humble even unto this day, neither have they feared nor walked in my law nor in my statutes that I set before your fathers. Therefore, thus saith the Lord of hosts, the God of Israel, behold, said Jeremiah, I shall strike you with the wrath of God. Nor ye or your fathers have already sent upon you the warning. You did not hear me in the land of Egypt. So it goes on. So to the wise guy, this is all rubbish. So he threw away his yarmulke, he threw away his cross. He fled the temple, and now he's in a nightclub, stoned out of his mind on cocaine and alcohol. And whatever he's doing, and he thinks he's free. He is more free, for example, than the humble person who goes into a church. He is freer than the man who puts the phylacteries on in the morning and believes in the word of God. He is freer than the man who fears God. I'll let you decide who's freer, but to me, as George Orwell wrote, when I hear people screaming, I am free, I am free, I am free, I hear the rattling of their chains. I'll be right back. It's the Savage Nation. Savage.
Joe en Paul, laat storen vaar knieken, brabrilla Joe en Paul, dat werd je bully krieken, brabrilla zoet, hij koud, hij gieten zolen perfect, hij feit een daftier, kuiven, door bij Joe en Paul.
You know, things change and things remain the same. I play this. This is a hilarious, funny in-joke, because it was in my father's generation that that song was popular on radio for the immigrant Jews of New York at the time. It was from a store that owned a clothing store. They told you to bring your son in for a new suit. You know, I'll put it in another context. I listen to Spanish radio, and I speak the rudiments of Spanish. And you know, it's the same thing every generation. Most immigrant groups are the same in the fundamentals. They want the best for their children. They want the children to get married and have a family. There's a big park near one of the houses that I live in. And on the weekends, it's 99% Hispanics, mainly the workers of the community. And they play soccer. And their families are neatly at the tables barbecuing. The children are running around and having a good time. The families all know each other. And I look at it, and I say, these people are beautiful, and it's wonderful to look at. I mean, there's no garbage in the park. There's no crime in the park. There's no violence. We're very lucky in that regard. But the togetherness that the ethnic groups have when they first arrive in the country is something to be admired. Now, I don't have to tell you that several generations later, if not one generation later, it's a guy sitting alone in front of a TV tray watching the evening news. No longer is there any familial bond or ethnic bonds. They break down. That's the American way. And many people struggle to break those bonds, by the way. They can't wait to get away from the ghettos that they first congregate in. They cannot wait to buy a home somewhere in the suburbs. Now, they hope that there are some brethren, like, you know, speak the same language from the same village. It makes them feel better. But sure enough, their children will grow up and move away and be alone somewhere, living the American, isolated, alienated atomized life, and that's just the way of the world. But, I mean, there's no direct point to the story other than to say to you is that when I go through the park, as I bicycle through it, and I see the amazing togetherness of the Guatemalan people, the people from El Salvador, and the teams are lined up, of course, not only by country but by village. But there's no violence. They play soccer. The barbecue pits are going. The kids are running around happy. The mothers are there. The grandmothers are there. It's something beautiful to behold. I don't have it. I wish I had it. Now, I could have 30,000 or 50,000 people barbecuing in a park if I wanted to organize it. I could get the Savage Nation together in 10 cities. I could have a giant barbecue in Yankee Stadium if I wanted. That's something else, though. That's a commercialization of the nation, if you know what I'm saying. Well, here's a new study out that's another example of the falsity of science today. Study, AP, when kids become teens, they get sluggish. And here's the article that says, one of the largest studies of its kind shows just how sluggish American children become once they hit the teen years. While 90% of 9-year-olds get a couple of hours of exercise most days, fewer than 3% of 15-year-olds do. Teens don't engage in cycling, brisk walking, swimming, or jogging. Well, I'd like to argue that they're getting plenty of exercise when the door to their bedroom shuts, and I don't think that that is something that was calculated by the so-called scientists or pediatricians. I guess they want to drug the child because they're too inactive in the bedroom. But as I say, I don't think they're too inactive anymore. Maybe they can. Maybe when Obama becomes chief dog catcher, they can make it a crime if your child doesn't exercise a certain number of hours a day. And I'm sure that some accelerometer or raceometer, rather, that will be developed by the Obama team, maybe Jamie Gorella can create a raceometer company that will provide a raceometer for every household in America. And if they find out, for example, that whites have lower activity levels or higher activity levels, whichever it turns out to be, it'll be that whites are racist, either because they have a higher activity level amongst teens or a lower activity level. So in other words, if it turns out that blacks have a higher activity level, it'll be proven that the reason there's a higher activity level is because whites are racist and study more. But if it turns out that whites have a lower activity level, it'll be proven beyond a reasonable doubt that they're trying to kill people of another race by encouraging them to have a higher activity level, according to the raceometer. You know, it would take Mark Twain to live through our times to understand how ridiculously funny it is to see a goofball like Obama being taken seriously for the presidency. It's not like I'm a big fan of John McCain. I know the guy's a charlatan. But for God's sakes, give me a break on the shame in Obama, would you please? The man is absolutely unqualified. I can't wait to see him fall on his face in front of the Brandenburg Gates. Play the Joe and Paul song for me. Entertain me, would you please?
Joe and Paul, let's start a fire kriegen, brother, Joe and Paul, that wird your bully kriegen, brother, let's out, I go, I get in zolle perfect, I fit in daft here, kuifen, nor by Joe and Paul.
So Joe and Paul own the clothing store, and they were singing, and it's a funny part is they used some kind of tonality that came from the synagogue, you could hear it like a cantor. And they were taking a religious tonality and applying it to a commercial ad to get people into the clothing store to buy a suit and a coat for their child. God, it's not far off from what goes on today. For example, take the liberal side. They're always trying to tell you that we're destroying the planet. And in a way, what they're doing is they're appealing to the atheists who are saying that we have a new religion called globalism. And the new religion of globalism says that we're damaging Mother Earth. And that if you're a good let us say, tenant of the earth, you wouldn't damage Mother Earth. You wouldn't rape her. You wouldn't molest her. And so, therefore, you must walk lightly on the earth and pick up tin cans and chewing gum wrappers and send money to Al Gore's Carbon Dioxide Institute. You know, I mean, for God's sakes, give me a break here. Nobody wants pollution, probably more me so than Barbara Boxer. As I say, I'm an outdoorsman. I doubt that she or Dianne Feinstein have been on a boat on the San Francisco Bay recently. In fact, I doubt that the mayor of the city has ever been on the bay. How is it that I, a transplant, has been on the bay and walked the mountains and walked the trails and walked the streets, and I know more about the byways and highways and waterways and birdways and mammalways of the Bay Area than most of the people here who claim to be environmentalists? The answer is because I know what I'm talking about, and I doubt that they do when it comes to things natural. That's why. We are moving along here on the Savage Nation. I've touched on many topics, including the fact that teenagers are probably getting plenty of exercise when the door to their bedrooms close. We have disclosed that the board of Fannie Mae and Fannie Mac, if you look on michaelsavage.com, include the illustrious Louis Free, director of the FBI under Bill Clinton. Jamie Gorelick, member of the 9/11 Commission, that's well known as the 9/11 Whitewash Commission, to those of us who said it the first day the report came out and we read it, that the whole thing was a cover-up of those actually guilty. And, well, there are so many other stories, I need not review them. But when I come back, I will, right here on the Savage Nation.
Savage.
It is the Savage Nation, 1-800-449-8255. On the RE-27. By the way, it was an RE-27, not an RE-20. I had upgraded this a few years ago. This is the Budweiser, the Clydesdale of microphones that I'm on. One will be sent back. The other expensive one I'll probably buy, keep it in my collection. One of my studios now has microphones in it. I'm actually trying to collect radio memorabilia for a radio museum I'm creating. I don't know where I'm going to put the museum, but I'm going to create a radio museum. And I want to have the cups from all of the affiliates I'm on, and I want to have the, I don't know, just station banners. I like radio memorabilia. It's my field. I like microphones with radio. Like, if I can get old microphones from the radio station sent to me, they'll go in there with their little, you know, flag on it. It's like when I was a teacher once, I got old microscopes that they were throwing out made of brass. They replaced it with plastic. They thought they were worthless. I didn't sell them. I have, like, a couple of them. So I grew up on radio. It's interesting. I'm one of the few people in radio who grew up on radio. And one of the things I grew up on was a thing called Inner Sanctum Mysteries. This is from Radio Mysteries from yesteryear. I grew up on this. I used to thrill and chill to these kinds of things in my father's lap. He'd be smoking the Philip Morris, sitting on a couch, newspaper kind of on his lap after dinner, and I'd be listening to Inner Sanctum with him. And he would say to me, you know, radio is better than TV. I said, why is that? He said, because you have to use your imagination to listen to this story. You have to think. He said, television is a completely different story. I said, what do you mean, Dad? He said, because they're telling you the story with images. There's nothing for you to imagine. Radio is all a theater of the mind, he said to me. I wonder if it matters if you grew up in radio as to how you perform in radio. I really wonder. You know, I don't know. I'm not trying to make myself better than anybody. I'm just saying I do enough for that, God knows. But I'm just wondering if you grew up in radio, if it affects how you actually perform in radio. Whatever. I know that if you grew up, let's say, in the country club set, and you went to Yale, and your father was a president or a senator, and you were in one of those clubs, and you wind up as a Treasury Secretary, Senator, or President, you have no way to understand what the average person thinks, feels, or does. You look down upon them like bugs. So here is Henry Paulson, and I don't know how he grew up. I know he's a Christian Scientist by your background. He's the Treasury Secretary, getting grilled by so-called Senator Christopher Dodd and so-called Senator Richard Shelby. It's kind of like, to me, this is like a fake grilling. All right, let's go. Here's what we're going to do. Hank, yeah, how you doing? First of all, they gave money, Christopher Dunn. They got money. So I was like, look, we got to do a hearing. The people are getting mad. There's crowds outside the bank. Well, look, you got to come in. We got to do a grilling on you. Okay. It's like a set-up wrestling match. So what I'm going to do is, Hank, I'm gonna ask you a tough question, and you're going to stall me. Then Shelby's going to come in, and he's going to push harder. And then you're going to respond to that one. Okay, let's go through it once on the phone. We'll do a conference call in, let us say, 58 minutes. Okay, so now here's how it turns out in clips 5 and 6. Here's Paulson being asked by Senator Dodd. Listen to this.
How much is this going to potentially cost?
Yeah, and as I've said, since we believe that the right thing to do is to keep these institutions in their current form, the question which I am answering is that this is a backup facility, hopefully would never be used. And if you want to maximize the chances it'll ever be used, you would have maximum authority for a temporary period of time. We're asking for it for a temporary period of time. All I can do is tell you, which in my judgment, what I believe is the best for providing stability, providing confidence, and minimizing the chance that it'll be used, and minimizing the chance that people.
So, in other words, Henry Paulson, the Treasury Secretary, is asked by Senator Christopher Dodd how much it'll cost. He presents a plan to prop up mortgage finance giants Fannie Mae and Freddie Mac, which are busted out. And so the Senator Dodd asks him how much. He doesn't answer it. So now Shelby comes in at clip six.
How much money are you contemplating here?
Again, there is, I would say with that, there is no current plan. And so, again, all I can do is say to you that that while I'm here, I would ask for it to be unspecified.
Give me a blank check. You hear this? How would you like to go to a company that's bankrupt and you're going to the board of directors of a bankrupt company and saying, okay, look, I need some credit. I need you to give me additional credit. And the board of directors say, well, how much do you need, Hank? How much, Hank? I'd like it to be unspecified. All right, so we'll give you another blank check. Now, we do know that when Jamie Gorelick was on the board of one of these organizations, in this case, you don't know who Jamie Gorelick is. The aficionados do. She was a deputy attorney general under Bill Clinton and did horrible, terrible things to the American people. And Jamie Gorelick is a former vice chairwoman of Fannie Mae, one of the so-called mortgage backers. Now, what actually did she benefit from this? We don't know if she benefited directly, but she served on an organization called FNMA, and she was vice chairman of FNMA from 97 to 03. She earned over $26 million during her 6 years there, and during that period, FNMA developed a $10 billion accounting scandal. One example of falsified financial transactions that helped the company meet earnings targets for 98 was, quote, a manipulation that triggered multi-million dollar bonuses for top executives. Gorelick received $779,000. How could they run up a $10 billion accounting scandal and not go to jail and then go on to a bigger job in the government? The answer is because they are the government. Any other questions? So where this ends, I don't know. The whole thing is a shell game. No answer. No answer. What if your banker came to you and said, well, look, you're not making payments on your mortgage. We want to take your house away. And you say to the banker, look, instead of taking my house away, how about giving me a new line of credit? I said, what? A new line of credit? Oh, okay, we don't want to take your house away from you. How much do you need? At this time, I don't... That wouldn't work with the banker. So why would this charade with Paulson work with you? Answer, because you have no input into the government. It's a government of the media, by the media, and for the media. As long as the department store dummy, Wolf Blitzer, falls for it, as long as Scarface Greta Van Cistern continues to cover murders, and as long as the psychopathic-eyed woman on CNN continues to cover rapes and abductions, there's no reason for them to think anyway. I mean, how much lower does it get than Larry King, who apparently was around when Moses was walking around with the tablets? I think Moses, in fact, I once investigated the pedigree, Moses and Larry King are actually distant cousins. But how much lower does it get than Larry King interviewing that hack, that nobody, whoever it was, a governor, whatever, football, I don't even know his name. Is he going to run for governor? Is Larry King going to run for the president? No, I'm not going to run. Wow, what an exclusive, Larry. What an exclusive. Did you share a pickle with each other before or after the show? Anyway, so I grew up on the Inner Sanctum. It was an old radio mystery theater. And it was very, very mysterious, featuring like it was a mystery show. The lights would go dim in the living room, and I'd lie there and inhale the secondhand smoke of the Philip Morris. And here's what I heard.
Inner Sanctum Mysteries. Good evening, friends of the Inner Sanctum. This is Raymond, your host at the squeaking door. Come in, won't you?
Well, anyway, that was the way. It was a little slow for today, you know, with the speed that we transmit ideas. But it was amazing when you're a child to listen to that kind of stuff. And, of course, you know, wouldn't work today. But one last footnote. I remember when I was a little older, I don't know, 10, 11, my mom, God rest her soul, took us to Radio City Music Hall, the NBC building. And we went into a radio sound studio. You know, they used to invite the public in. It was so thrilling for me to go into that radio studio, and they entertained the average person by showing them how sound effects were made in radio. And when the guy came out with like a sheet of metal, and he said, "Here is how we make thunder," and he rolled, you know, he moved the sheet of metal in his hand, and I heard thunder. And here's how we show horses galloping. And he took the two like cups. And he did them on a sound, like a wooden, hollow wooden sound board. And he made the sound of horses of galloping. I was amazed. I was just amazed that you could make sound effects in a radio studio sound like an animal or thunder or lightning. And it wasn't actually there. Then Mom would take my friend and I over to a chain restaurant called the Floridian. They had like the Floridian, the New York, and the Californian. And they made eggs like a certain way. They mixed it where it came out in like a funnel, like a silo. What a beautiful thing that was. But today, no, the kids are not into that. Today they're home looking at internet pornography in their bedroom, getting the exercise that teenage boys have been getting since the beginning of time. Play the Lone Ranger.
Are you still there?
A fiery horse with the speed of light, a cloud of dust, and a hearty Hi-Yo Silver. The Lone Ranger.
Oh, I love that. See, I'm still looking for the Lone Ranger to come along and save America. Let me hear that again. I want to hear the Lone Ranger.
Hi-Yo Silver!
A fiery horse with the speed of light, a cloud of dust, and a hearty Hi-Yo Silver. The Lone Ranger.
Yeah, we went from the Lone Ranger to Brokeback Mountain, and that was the end of that. I guess the next incarnation of Brokeback Mountain will be that one of the heroes of my youth actually made it with the horse. And I didn't really realize it at the time. And he was really a sick person. And he had a terrible marriage. And behind the scenes, him and the whore. I mean, this is what they want you to believe. The same people are pushing global warming and the world's coming to an end tell you that every hero that you ever had was a demented pervert. Oh, yeah, the Green Hornet also. Let me hear the Green Hornet.
He hunts the biggest of all game. Public enemies who try to destroy our America.
Yeah, I'm the Green Hornet. So of all of these characters, the Inner Sanctum story, no, the Lone Ranger, not me. I'm not the Lone Ranger because I'm not out to save anybody. But the Inner this one's good. The Green Hornet is like a bit of my show's a little bit of the Green Hornet, isn't it? Play the Green Hornet again.
He hunts the biggest of all game. Public enemies who try to destroy our America.
Yeah, good luck. Yeah, right. Try to destroy our America. Hello. Hello. Yeah. All right, got it with the bumblebee already. I don't want to hear any more. 1-800-449-8255. So the lifeboat's full. And the new thing about illegal immigration is that they're not bad people. But you mustn't forget in all of the discussions one simple fact that's reality. It is irrefutable. It's a fact. One out of three prisoners is an illegal alien. It's irrefutable. Tell it to John McCain the next time he gives a glowing speech to LULAC or La Raza, and ask LULAC and La Raza how to explain it. They'll have an answer. They have a ready answer right out of the Clinton years. The reason one out of three illegal immigrants have committed a felony and are in prison is because of racist America. That had only been given a free house, a free Cadillac Escalade, and free medical care and free health care, they wouldn't have had to commit a felony. And it's because of the racist white man that they had to commit a felony in order to experience a normal life that shouldn't have been denied them. That's the liberal answer. But it goes back to an earlier question I raised, which is why, even according to CNN, a far-left organization, is McCain jumping ahead of Obama? And why is Obama falling behind, which is an even better question? Do you want to answer that one? Because I will take your calls right on that topic, the minute I return, immediately, so-called this spot, this area on your dial, right here, where you're listening, the nanosecond that I get back, that's the question I'm going to ask you again. Be here.
Savage.
booming business out there. I would say becoming a repo man would be good for the coming decade. That's not a bad job. I think repo man would be pretty good. Trucks, RVs, boats. Wow, what a business. I don't know where you're going to sell them, but I would say that's a boom business, repo man. Well, I don't even know the year. 2008 already? God, I never thought I'd make it this far. Remember when I was young, I thought, like, oh, my God, am I ever going to see the year 2000? I used to get trepidatious, like, I don't know, you know. Then 2001, 2002, 2003, 2004, 2005, on and on and on it goes. If you could live 1,000 years, would you? I used to joke. I love that line from Zorba the Greek where the main character says, a man like, you know, he's like very dramatic and self-possessed as are most talk show hosts. And he's seen at a window after being with a woman. And he says, a man like me should live 1,000 years. Wow, was that dramatic. But would you really want to live 1,000 years and see everyone you love dead? I mean, oh, God, please. You get to see that? What else do you get to see? 1,000 years you want to live? Would you want to live another 100 years? I mean, you got to ask yourself these questions. I do sometimes when I have nothing else to do. But I don't like to get there. And even when I watch those shows about meteorites hitting the planet and global collapse and catastrophe, and we evolved from slime, that's when I reach for the Bible. And I say, you know what? If the Bible is myth, which I don't believe it is, so what? I need bedrock. I need the Rock of Ages. You watch Nat Geo and believe that a meteorite's about to terminate your life. That's all. You watch it and you tell me that you don't have to reach for some drug. So if the Bible is the opiate of the masses, as Karl Marx said, you know what? I'll take this instead of opium. You can go put yourself on crack if you want. I'm not going to do it. What's the difference if the Bible is the opiate of the masses? It's harmless. What harm has it done you? And now I'm going to bring up the sex abuse scandal. That's the next second already. The wise guy has an answer. You know what? There's an answer for everything. And what does it get you? Those of you without faith, what does it get you at the end of the day to be so smart? It gets you nothing. You have no faith in anything. So you don't believe in anything. You believe in nobody. You think everyone's a liar and a charlatan except you. So it brings me to one question. If everyone's a liar and a charlatan, why do you believe in Obama? You don't have an answer for that. But why is it that Obama, why is the luster coming off his halo? Why is his rating, why are his ratings plummeting? Roger in Bakersfield, you're up on the Savage Nation. Answer that question, please.
Well, he hasn't been electable from the get-go. I think he was selected by the Democratic Party, which is controlled by the Clintons, to be her running mate.
Right, and then he overtook her. That's what I think.
Yeah, I think that's what's happened. But also, I think the New Yorker kind of hit it. I don't know whether they did it inadvertently or they did it on purpose. They hit the nail on the head. Everybody deep inside, they look at that picture and they see that that's Obama. That really is.
Yeah.
We
do fear that owing to his background, owing to his preacher, let's not forget Reverend Wright's rhetoric, and I'll play it in a minute. That he actually does look like a guy in a turban. I mean, he saluted Louis Farrakhan numerous times, but not as near as 6 months ago. He said he agrees with the reverend. He's like a nice uncle. So why shouldn't the American people see him in a turban? Like, the image of him that's not being shown. And why shouldn't we see his wife as Angela Davis with an AK-47? That's like the sub rosa images of them.
You know, is the New Yorker trying to cut him off at the knees, or it's
interesting to me that it's a liberal magazine like the New Yorker, which has such wonderful caricaturists, that they would say they ran that cover to show the racism of America. I don't believe that at all. The question is, why would they run it at all? What are they trying to say? Maybe they're afraid of him.
Well, it could be that they're afraid of him. Certainly business is afraid of him. McCain is probably the choice of business, and I'm not so sure he's not the choice of the New Yorker. He's a pretty liberal Republican.
Yeah, well, he's the ultimate country club liberal Rockefeller Republican who hates the conservatives, hates the evangelicals, embraces the illegal alien. I mean, what more do they want? He's actually the Democrat for our time. McCain is the Democrat for our time. Obama is the socialist. So in other words, once again, America has a choice between a Democrat and a socialist. I think the Democrat wins here. Play Reverend Wright for the listeners. This is Obama's inner psyche.
The government gives them the drugs, builds bigger prisons, passes a three-strike law, and then wants us to sing God Bless America? No, no, no. Not God Bless America. God damn America. That's in the Bible for killing innocent people. God damn America for treating our citizens as less than human.
Well, we'll keep playing that right up until November 7th. You know, on and off. just in case you forgot already. And we're going to play the Angela Davis, Mrs. Obama piece when we come back.
Savage.
Warning. The Michael Savage Show contains adult language, adult content, psychological nudity. Listener discretion is advised.
And now, America's most exciting radio talk show, The Savage Nation. Here is Michael Savage.
Gives them the drugs, builds bigger prisons, passes a three-strike law, and then wants us to sing God Bless America? No, no, no. Not God Bless America. God damn America. That's in the Bible for killing innocent people. God damn America for treating our citizens as less than human.
Well, I was asking why Obama the Messiah is plummeting in the polls and why McCain is moving ahead. I mean, according to liberal polls like CNN, it's like 2 points apart. That means it's probably 20 points apart because generally conservatives do not answer polls. I've never been polled in my life. I don't know anyone who's ever been polled, nor would I answer a poll generally. But liberals love polls. They seek them out. So the differential is pretty large. And the question is why? I mean, what's happening? How has this man lost luster so rapidly? I have my own suspicions. I like yours. In Florida, Robin, you're up on the Savage Nation. Go ahead, please.
I agree with Reverend Wright. I'm a Jew.
What is the connection between hating America and being Jewish? Is there something I'm missing here?
No, first of all, God's the only judge. Reverend Wright, when he's everything that America is founded on is Christianity, from Thanksgiving to Christmas to
And what should it be founded upon? Paganism?
No, I think it should be founded upon the Old Testament and the truth. I mean, everything there.
Wait, you know, you're all over the map. It sounds like you're a mentally disturbed individual. You said you agree with Reverend Wright and you're a Jew. What do the two statements have to do with each other?
Okay, let's cut a tree down and celebrate Christmas. What's up with that?
Excuse me, what's up with what you just said? That's evil, cutting a tree down? Are you standing on a wooden floor?
Let's kill a tree and celebrate life.
I asked you, are you standing on a wooden floor?
I'm actually on my bed.
You're on your bed. What, are you disabled?
No, I'm not a bit disabled.
Do you live on a government check of some kind from evil America?
I've never taken anything from anybody.
What is it that makes you hate the country? Tell me what it is you hate. You hate Christians? Is that it?
No, I hate the government.
You're a Christophobe, in other words. You hate Christians? You said you don't like the fact that the country's founded on Christianity. You said that.
I hate the fact that we go to other countries and tell them that there's something to believe in. People don't believe in things they can't see, then why do they believe in God? There's controversy. The New Testament.
So you believe in Reverend Wright because you're mentally deranged and unstable. That's what you just proven. Nothing that you've said makes sense, incidentally, lady. You're a very, very emotionally unstable individual, and everything you're saying is disconnected from each thing you say is disconnected from the thing before it. But what is amazing to me is you don't realize you're fostering anti-Semitism when you say, I believe in Reverend Wright, who says he hates America, and I'm a Jew. What does your Jewishness have to do with hating America? Can you explain that to me?
No, I'm a converted Jew, and hating America, like I told you, their foundation.
What do you mean? You're converted from what to whom?
Calm. You're going to be...
Robin, you're converted from what to what?
I'm just saying that America...
No, answer my question. You're converted from what to what?
I converted from a Baptist to a Jew.
And so now you speak for Jews?
I gave things up. I quit walking in sin. If I knew something.
I'm saying, so now you speak for Jews by hating America? Is that how you think you speak for Jews?
I don't hate anything. I disagree with America. I disagree with how you can get insurance on anybody without them even knowing. That's
oh, you're crazy. Okay, lady, have a nice day. Really, this is Creedmoor material. Wow. Ooh, I'm exhausted. I'm in a sweat. You know, I need a Schwitz bath after this one. I need to go right into a Schwitz bath. Woo. I don't know how psychiatrists do it. You know, the more I listen to crazy people, I really don't know how someone does psychiatry. You got to go nuts after eight of those a day. I remember when I was a kid trying to figure out what to do. The doctor, you know, was an authority figure. He came into the house to treat my father, who had a heart attack. He's a nice young guy. And he said, well, what do you want to be? I said, oh, I think I want to be a psychiatrist. He says to me, why in the heck would you want to sit and listen? He sat down with me. He said, why would you want to listen to people's troubles? Don't you realize that it's going to make you very unhappy? That was when I gave up psychiatry. I was still in high school. I do it anyway. Now I'm a psychiatrist for the nation. It's even worse. So you see, you know, this crazy woman who just called is an example of who Obama is attracting outside the hardcore demagogues of the Democrat Party who smell victory. I got to say something here. I got to do it in exactly the right way. I have to be surgical of what I'm going to say. And I hope you understand it in the context. If you don't, I'll know that you're a racist hater of America anyway, so it doesn't matter. I once worked for a textbook company when I was very young. And I had to go around the country and introduce their textbooks to various school boards and hope they would buy them. Well, what happened was we started getting responses to the publisher that said the characters are too white. So they couldn't make a black character in the textbook in pictures. You know, the cart, like whatever, the drawings, the illustrations. So then they sent it back, and it was like sort of a brown person. And the school board said, well, the person is too brown now. You got to make it more white. And this went on for over a year where the school boards were dictating to the publishing company exactly what tone of color to use in presenting the drawing of the personalities in the textbook. Now, let's jump to Obama since they've made race an issue. If you were to create the perfect personality for the Democrats' suspicion that we're ready for a multiracial individual to be president, it might be Obama. Unfortunately, his politics are not American enough. Unfortunately for him, his actual politics have been exposed through many different ways. One is his preacher, whose feet he sat at for 20 years and he didn't leave the church. That's a huge scandal that will never leave him. His wife, who espouses Angela Davis' light rhetoric. Of course, she changed it. Now the children were used a few weeks ago to show that she's a PTA mom. They put her on that dumb show for women run by that creature from the Black Lagoon who should be outside the Holland Tunnel in fishnet stockings at 3 in the morning. It would more suit her personality than what's her name, that Barbara Walters. Oh, God, I need brown soap just saying the word Barbara and Walters together. It's given the name Barbara a bad name. So what I'm saying is you could see who Obama is. How about his friends, the radicals from the 60s, who after they released from jail, Mr. Ayers said that we're glad we killed those cops. We'd kill more if we could have. He's quoted. He still says he's a friend of mine. So, of course, people see him in a turban. How about his support of Louis Farrakhan? He said he continues to support Louis Farrakhan. Well, guess what? Most Americans don't like Louis Farrakhan's rhetoric. So who is supporting of Obama? It's the Democrat fanatics. It's the hard left. It's the SDSers, the Students for Democrat Society, who've melded into society. It's the communists. It's the socialists. It's the unionists, people of that nature, and the people who suspect they're going to get jobs out of it. And then there's a wide swath of the crazy people, like the woman who called me from Florida. They're always attracted to the lunatic. I'll be right back on the Savage Nation. Be here. Savage. Here's good news. An appeals court just upheld a $15 million award to policemen in Los Angeles. That's right. A federal appeals court on Monday upheld a $15 million award to three officers who accused the LAPD of wrongly arresting them and making them scapegoats during the notorious Rampart scandal. It was a corruption scandal that was fake, and the three were implicated by former officer Rafael Perez, the central figure of the scandal. So he then said that these other cops allegedly beat, robbed, framed, and shot innocent people in the city's tough Rampart neighborhood. And these guys, Paul Harper, Edward Ortiz, and Brian Liddy, were arrested. Well, they then sued. And a Ninth Circuit Court of Appeals, strangely enough, upheld the award to the LAPD. That's great. Isn't that wonderful? I'm still waiting for the justice in the Duke LaCrosse case. I'd like to see the dirtbag go to jail. I still don't know why she's not in prison. I want to know why the DA's not in prison. I want to know why we have a country where a woman can scream rape and make it up and not go to prison when she's found to have been a liar. I'd like to see a nation where if you accuse somebody of a crime and it turns out you made it up, you are subject to the same penalties as the person you falsely accused. Then I'll know I see a justice system I can believe in. Otherwise, anyone can make up anything. Oh, Ray raped me. Huh. Well, you know, it's a good shot. If I win, I win. If I lose, I win anyway. Why is the Durham dirtbag not in prison? Why is the district attorney not in prison after what he did? Why is the system rigged against the innocent? Kentucky, Adam, you're on the Savage Nation. What's on your mind? Go ahead, please.
Yes, Dr. Savage, you're absolutely right about the repo business. That's what I do. We've been doing about 50% above normal since last September.
You're a repo man, and it is a good business.
Oh, yes, sir.
What kind of items are you repossessing?
Well, right now we're sticking to pickup trucks and semi-trucks with the fuel prices. I can't tell you how many trucks I've...
But are the people basically just abandoning payments and saying, take it back? Is that it?
That's what they're doing, and usually they're doing that in order to save their house from going back.
Oh, that's sad. That's terrible. That is just terrible. The people are just that close to the edge. That's a horrible thing. So what do you do with a repossessed truck? Where does it go?
Well, different states have different laws, but most states state that it must go to auction and get a certain number of bids before it's sold.
But who buys them? I mean, if the trucks are no longer in favor, who buys them?
Well, right now you're getting trucks dirt cheap. Usually they end up on other car lots.
So, in other words, people are still buying the trucks, but they're buying them for like 50 cents on the dollar or something like that.
Yes, sir, that's right.
Maybe I should buy a truck. I don't really need one. I'll look into it. Probably a good time to buy one. I got gas guzzlers. I got very heavy fuel-consuming cars, but I pay for it. It's not your business. What's your business if I pay for the gas? I don't understand it. If I'm willing to pay all this money per gallon, I mean, I don't like it. I wish the car got 100 miles to a gallon, but it doesn't. If it's a high, I'd love to have a if you can get me a sun car, a car that runs on like the sun's energy and it can go as fast as my car does from 20 to 100, I'll take it. Will it make the same sounds coming out of the tailpipe? I wonder. That is something to be 20 to 100 is quite a speed on a car. I grew up in another era. I like gas guzzlers. Not because I like them to guzzle gas. I like what they do. I like their sound. I like their heft and feel. I like the safety of a big car. I hate little cars. I've always hated little cars. Never enjoyed them. Truthfully, I just like a big car. I'm driving the Navigator again. I kept it in a garage for a while. I enjoy it. It's big. It doesn't have fussy little fruity San Francisco tires that break when you touch a curb. My other cars, you touch a curb, whoop! The light, it has a computer. Your right tire is deflated. It went down by 2 pounds. Call Stuttgart. Hello, Hans. My tire is losing air. This car, you could jump a curb and hit a hydrant, and the thing keeps rolling. Plus, I guarantee you, with my big Navigator, nobody in the Prius. They think twice. They look at it. You could see them trying to angle and cut you off from the right. Then they look at my eyes in the rearview mirror, and they see the size of the tire spinning by their head. And you see them just at the last minute, they say, well, maybe I shouldn't cut that guy off. There's something to be said for a big American car. Maybe I'll go look for a new one at a half price now. I don't know what's going to be left after this is all over. All of our big cars are gone. God only knows what's going to happen to the boating market. Mwah! You wouldn't want to be a boat dealer with a, you know, twin 1,000 horsepower Caterpillars right now for sale, would you? With an 07 still on the lot, so to speak. Yeah, special deal. We got 2,000 horsepower Caterpillar engines in there that only burn 70 GPH, so 70 gallons per hour. Real bargain. No, I tell you, my boat has Cummins diesels, and I'm lucky they're really good. I get about 10 or 11 gallons per hour. That's a very good fuel-efficient boat for a boat that's 19 tons. First of all, I don't go fast. What do I need to speed in a boat for? If I want a speedboat, I'll buy a speedboat. This is not a speedboat. It's a 19-ton cruiser. So I do 10 knots, 11 knots. I put it on autopilot. I go out with the dog when I do on a calm day, and I eat a sandwich on the foredeck. What is wrong with that? Am I hurting somebody? I'm personally offending you, the kayaker? How'd you get your kayak to the water's edge, schmuck? You drove it in a car, usually on an SUV, and then you get on the water and you act like you're holier than me. You think you're Nanook of the North. So I'm supposed to believe you came down from the Aleutian Islands personally in your kayak and that you're treading lightly on the ocean. That's what they play, or these bicyclists here on these two-lane roads. I don't know why the CHP, the California Highway Patrol, doesn't arrest these bicyclists. They're such asses. They're jackasses of the lowest order. And I ride a bike every day. But believe me, I don't cut cars off. I don't hog the road. You see these jerks, most of whom are lawyers from San Francisco. They like to show you their keister. They ride right next to you, and they won't pull over you. It's a two-lane road. And if you try to pass them, they give you the finger. Oh, I had a doozy last week. A couple, a man and a woman blocking the entire road, left and right. So I went around them. I went in the other lane. They got so mad that I had the nerve to go in the other lane and I didn't get blocked by them. They went furious. You think they're doing this by accident, these asses, these jackasses? If I were a CHP officer, I'd arrest them and take their bicycles away and put them in prison for 30 days. You know, I am so fed up with these fraudulent environmentalists on bicycles and kayaks, I don't know where to begin. So, anyway, I just got that out of my system. People said I'd live longer if I stayed in radio. I hope they're right. It's yet to be determined. But I remember when I started in radio 15 years ago, I didn't think I'd last 2 years. Physically, I knew I'd last as long as I wanted to on the radio. I knew how good I was. I knew also that I'd be in the winner's circle and be one of the top three talk show hosts in America, which I am. I knew that. And I am. But health-wise, oh, my God, I put on 30 pounds since I started. I don't eat like I used to. I was a real health food guy. I ran. I was svelte. I was slim. Now, forget about it. What you have to do to put fuel into that engine. Think of me as an opera singer. You know, like, ooh. I mean, you gotta put coal down in that burner. You can't just do this on, like, soybeans. You're going to be a philosopher on soybeans that no one will listen to. But if you want to be a talk show host and you want to put out the energy, man, you got to knock off some pretty good food every day. You got to throw some coal down in the burner. So I do, and I'm glad I'm here. And it's been 15 wonderful, great years, and I consider myself the luckiest man on earth. That's all I can say. What can I do? It's a daily thing. Set. Well, we go back to the primary question this hour in the Savage Nation. It's 34 minutes after the hour, which is, why do you think Obama's poll numbers are slip-sliding away while McCain's poll numbers are improving? And, I mean, I pretty much can, you know, we all know the answer to this, but I'll take your calls right now. Georgia, North Carolina, your opinion counts. Go ahead, please. You're on the Savage Nation.
Michael, a wonderful show tonight. I'm calling, saying what I'm saying about Obama because the American people are smart enough to wake up to the fact that this guy has flip-flopped on a number of issues, especially that regarding the Iraq war. I'm a veteran of 21 years, 11 months, and 13 days in the United States Army, and he's getting upset over minor things. Years ago, when I was at the executive office building and told President Reagan that I love my country as a black American, the Baltimore Afro drew a caricature in a cartoon and put a handkerchief on my head and called me, had me talking to Ronald Reagan as Boss Reagan.
Oh, boy.
While that was supposed to be funny and hysterical, I didn't raise any sand about it. His campaign is getting upset over what they drew about him in the New Yorker magazine. And I heard someone say today, who gets upset over cartoons? Muslims. Because, you know, they threatened to kill people overseas for drawing a picture of Mohammed, whatever.
Yes.
This black man, and I'm a black man, supports the killing of black innocent children across this country. 50% of the babies they kill in this country are black. And Obama says he represents black people, and he's gone before the NAACP, who's been bought out by Margaret Sanger, They've never come out against the killing of innocent black children. I attended the funeral this past week of Jesse Helms, and some people raked me over the coals because I supported Helms. But I supported Helms because Helms never supported the killing of innocent preborn children.
And to Jesse Helms' credit, he also, all of his adult life, gave a lot of his personal money to retarded children.
Absolutely. And on top of that, Senator Jesse Helms hired James Meredith, who was the first man to integrate the University of Mississippi. He was on his staff. Senator Helms ran against a black man here in North Carolina by the name of Harvey Gann, who said he was for abortion, even for sex selection. This is bringing about the destruction.
Well, it's interesting that you say that the majority of abortions are performed upon black women and that 50% of the babies, the fetuses aborted are black. I mean, I didn't know the numbers were that high.
It's absolutely that high because, see, I did a lot of research, and I have a tons of material about Margaret Sanger. Margaret Sanger's favorite quote was, "We do not want the word to go out that we want to exterminate the Negro population."
Oh, my God. She was a racist and a eugenicist?
Absolutely. And she said, and the minister is the man who can straighten out that idea if it ever occurs to any of his more rebellious members. And she bought the NAACP. She bought Alpha Kappa Alpha. She bought She went into Abyssinia Baptist Church. She brought Adam Clayton Powell. You'd be surprised the amount of black people that she had on her payroll who were kowtowing to her. That's why the Congressional Black Caucus has never come out against abortion. And I demonstrate.
Let's be realistic. You're in the probably, what, 5% of African Americans who'll vote for, let us say, not vote for Obama. Let's put it to you that way. And that's because you can see right through the guy and you know he's just playing a game here. You know, which side is he on? It's not that he's it's not his racial caste, so to speak. It's the fact that his politics are out of touch with mainstream America. Isn't that true, George?
That is absolutely correct. This man is talking about raising our taxes beyond what they are with the economy the way it is and this treacherous position that it's in. He does not want to drill for the resources that we have in our own country. And as T. Boone Pickett said today, $700 billion of our money is going overseas, and it's about time that the Americans of this country, the citizens, the conservatives, those that have their country's interests at heart, get on the phone and call about the drilling of our own, using our own resources here on American soil to cut our dependence on foreign oil.
Oh, I agree, and I totally, totally agree with you that we should be drilling offshore as well, and I'm a boater, and I'd vote in a second to see us becoming less dependent upon those Middle Eastern thieves and killers. And I thank you for that wonderful call to the Savage Nation, 1-800-449-8255. Why is Obama sliding? Why is McCain rising? Duluth, Minnesota. Bill, you're next up. Go ahead, please.
Hello, Michael. This is a privilege to talk to you because you're the
thank
only
you.
One who seems to be proud to be conservative. I know there's a lot of people that are, but they don't seem to espouse that.
Well, I don't know what there is to be ashamed of. I mean, to me, conservatism is defined by a definition of borders, language, culture. I mean, if you don't support that, fine, define yourself as to what you are. But there's a big difference between Republicans and conservatives, as we all know. But why is McCain moving ahead of Obama, in your opinion?
Well, as I told you, Screener, I think the fix is in, and it's been in for quite a while. We're the globalists, or I will call them globalists, you know. They seem to be behind a whole lot of sliding left on both sides of the political fence. I see so many Republicans abandoning their conservatism, if they ever had it, as fast as they can get there. I don't know whether they're being arm-twisted or kowtowing or what. But I believe we're supposed to get McCain, who's only about, 50-60% conservative, and the rest is Mr. Rogers. And Obama, it's a twofer for the liberals, actually, because we get McCain, who's not a conservative, he's a liberal. Mm-hmm. And that's a fact, because nobody's going to elect Obama. Forget the polls, they'll say what they want, but when it comes to pulling the lever, they either won't go or they're going to vote for McCain. I think it's not even going to be close.
I think it's going to be a huge upset victory for McCain, and it's because the polls have been so distorted because of the media romance of Obama and the constant harping on the fact that he's the new Messiah. And they themselves have finally come to the end of their road in terms of their support for him. I actually see a shift going on where they have been almost embarrassed by their slavish worship of Obama, and they're trying to correct that. That's what I see happening. And the media itself is also worried about his far-left connections. They're waking up to the fact that they may have been hoodwinked. Many of them are not even that evil in the media. They're just naive. That's what I see, and I thank you for calling the Savage Nation. San Francisco, Dan, why is Obama slipping and McCain rising? Your opinion, please.
Yeah, first I want to say we're not a nation of whiners. We're a nation of savages. And
okay, that's very good. I understand the double entendre.
Hey, listen. Again, it's a privilege to talk to you. You're the only guy on the radio that has the guts to say it the way it is. You know what? I was up. I have two stickers and two signs in the back of my car. One says liberalism is a mental disorder. The newest one says F Obama. And I was up in Point Reyes Station, and that's full of liberals.
Oh, wait. Well, you got to explain what Point Reyes Station is. It's filled with female couples who have taken up the farm life. And then there's a few old broken down locals who've stayed there for three or four generations in ramshackle single wall bungalows.
It's like Bolinas, that whole area, you know. There's some conservatives up there that farm and do some things, but, you know.
Yeah, the old ranchers who you never hear from, the guys who own the big ranches, no doubt are conservative. So what happened with the bumper sticker in Cowtown?
This total liberal at the gas station, the only one in town. I ride motorcycles, and but I was in my car this day, and he came up to me, and he said, and I thought he was just going to, you know, rip me a new one. And he said, you know the guy's a total liberal. And he says, you know what? I'm going to make me one of those. And I was surprised. And I said, hey, tell me why you're saying this, because you're obviously an Obama supporter. But see, he's losing the far left, because now he's talking about staying in Iraq for a while. They actually believed him when he said, hey, I'm going to get us out of the war right away.
Wait, okay, so let's say he's losing the far left. They're going to vote for McCain?
You know what? Who knows who they'll vote for? Maybe they won't vote for anybody. But when you get a Point Reyes liberal, and this guy was on a bicycle, total hippie, and liberal as you can get. When he's saying he likes my F Obama sticker, that's saying you something,
And that's very interesting. I didn't think of that side of it, of him losing the far left support. But they're certainly not going to vote for McCain any more than the conservatives are likely to vote for McCain. So this is an interesting evolution inside the electoral game that's going on. The far left is leaving Obama. The right is leaving, has left McCain a long time ago. So who does it leave the election to? The illegal alien?
Well, I think it leaves the election to the moderates, the savage nation. Here's the thing. Like the guy who said before, people can say who they want. They don't want to admit on the phone that they're not going to vote for somebody for fear of being called a racist. So they tell the pollster, yeah, I'd vote for him. And it's all skewed. It's all set up. These polls that we have self-fulfilling prophecy. People know he's a creation of the media. And that when the teleprompter goes off, he sounds like an idiot. I mean, I think he's imploding. And he's losing his kook fringe left base. And he's also losing, people know what he's about. And
I like this call, Dan. You're good. You should consider a career in talk radio. How long have you been listening to this show?
I've been listening to the show for 10 years, and I here's the thing. It kills me to miss it. So I don't miss it no matter what. And at work, I have earphones, and I listen to it with a little microphone that's hidden.
You're one of my loyal local listeners. How can I not say thank you for that, Dan? Particularly this call about Point Reyes, because it is such a fond, fond place that I remember that I used to go to 15 years ago. I don't go near the place. I went there about 2 years ago. It was frightening. It looked like Haight-Ashbury on the plains. I mean, it was unbelievable to me. When you see a female couple with one with a belly that's so big, trailing two dirty babies behind her, it's disgusting. A lot of them are really filthy hippies up there.
Hey, Michael, you know what you do with these bicyclists, though? When I'm riding my motorcycle, they're like three abreast. They won't move over. You know those air horns that you use at the football games? These things are loud. I go up to them, and when they don't move over, I just give them a oh, my God, like they're going to jump right off their bike.
But do they move over? Some of them are so mean. They're horrible. You know, isn't it illegal for bicyclists to block a roadway by riding tandem?
there's a law that says you can't impede traffic. There's a, you know, you can get a ticket for going too slow too. And you know,
I know that the highway patrol occasionally will arrest them on Paradise Drive, for example, which is another two-lane road that they frequent, and they all come from somewhere else and park their SUVs, and then they block the road. Most of them are gangs of guys in jester costumes from San Francisco. And they're horrible. You honk nicely, they won't move over, they give you a finger. Well, so I usually pass them at high speed in the left lane, and they hate that. They hate that they can't block you. Most of them are doing it strictly to control people on the road, Dan. I don't know why the CHP doesn't grab their bikes, grab them by the neck, and throw them in the hoosegow. Dan, thanks for listening. I think I'll go out of Point Reyes this weekend and buy myself a milk jug. Remember about, oh, a number of years ago, I went out there, because it's an old farm area. Think of it as agricultural area that has been taken over by feminist couples and hippies. And because it was once a farm area, I bought a big creamery jar out there, big, like, brown glass jar for $20. I love this jar. I keep it in the sunlight in a back room. I like glass jars. Isn't it odd? I mean, they're not worth much. It's not the point. I just like the color of glass. I have a small collection of apothecary jars because I always liked old drugstores. The glass with the, you know, the chemicals in there. Anyway, we're slipping and sliding away here. We've talked about a number of topics, the Jamie Gorelick and Louis Freeh disclosure that they're running Fannie Mae and Fannie Mac. The fact that Canada is going to send back U.S. military deserters. Is Obama the ultimate metrosexual candidate? Should Henry Paulson be removed if he refuses to say how much the Fannie Mae and Freddie Mac bailout will cost? Yeah, good luck. I'll be right back. Welcome back to the Savage Nation. There's a great article by Joe Farah from WorldNet Daily on michaelsavage.com that you can't miss. It's on the right side, halfway down. It's about Obama, who wants to form a civilian national security force that he says will be just as powerful, just as strong, and just as well-funded as the U.S. military. What does he mean by a civilian national security force? I mean, what is this guy, kidding me? What is it, the SA? You know, this man is a dangerous man. And what it's going to take for you to understand it, I don't know. But many of you are brainwashed fools into thinking he's a benign character. You won't believe me when I tell you his reverend is his inner psyche. Friends like Bill Ayers are his outer psyche. And now the man wants to form a civilian national security force that's just as powerful, just as strong, as well-funded as the military? Well, hey, look up the SA, the brown shirts. I think you might find a good model for that. Something is very, very wrong with this picture. I happen to think that the media people, who are very naive, by the way, they're not as demented as you may think. They're just naive, many of them. They're actually nice people who mean well, and they want to get along and go along, and they're not mean people. They don't even understand what they're doing half the time. They're running scared. They're afraid of the ratings going up and down. It's one thing about radios, you don't know what your ratings are until 3 months later. In TV, it's a nightmare. They could tell by the minute by Nielsen ratings. I could never live that way, because then you become a poll-driven character. Was it what I said? Was it my eyebrow? Did I look this way? Was it the tie? Who could live that way? And then what you really want to say, you can't say anyway because, oh, your Nielsen's went down last night at 6:01 when you were talking about Joe and Paul. Well, I won't do Joe and Paul. There will be no intuition, no fun, no nothing on radio anymore. So you stick to the same. When you say Obama, it goes up. When you say McCain, it goes up. When you say illegal, it goes up. So you got guys like Lou Dobbs. All he says, illegal, 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 illegal. One horse pony thinks he's a genius already in radio. Illegal, 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 illegal. So, civilian national security force. This is a good month already, July. I got to tell you, personal, just, you notice my energy was very high today. A, it's the espresso with the lemon, Italian style. I have organic lemons from a garden I have. I put it in the lemon peel in an espresso. I go through the ceiling with this thing. I never saw anything like it. The secondary good benefit of it is that I can't drink at night. If I have an espresso just before the show, A, I'm loquacious, energy, and I don't crash. It's like all night. What the heck is in an espresso? It's like a condensed coffee. You know, it's just like vitamin E capsules, the equivalent of a vitamin E capsule. Because you say, well, what the heck? Why can't I get vitamin E from a food? You can. But a vitamin E capsule is a condensed, more powerful delivery system for vitamin E than you normally get, let's say, from wheat husk or from wheat kernels. The same with espresso. It was like a condensed, you know, magnified coffee dose. I love caffeine. It's a powerful cerebral stimulant, which we all need, as you well know. But, you know, I've just come out of four very bad months. March, April, May, June were very bad months for me because I have severe allergies that almost they debilitate me, and I have to function around them. I have no energy. I'm dead, blah, 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 blah. And at the end of June, finally, most of them are away, and I went through a very long and very difficult negotiation that was not easy for me at the same time, which I really don't want to talk about because I can't. So it's over, and now it's the summer, and July is always a good month, and August is usually a better month. And believe me, radio in September, October are going to be the two best months in the history of radio. You can't believe what is coming. And it's all coming down, and it's all going up. Between what the Bushies have done to the economy and what Obama wants to do to the social order and the fact that the dark horse McCain is treading lightly in the background, believe me, this is great fodder for radio. The question is what happens after November. Well, we have a twilight period between November, the election, and January when one of the two of the candidates becomes president. Then what happens to radio? Well, Obama will go along with Nancy Mussolini, who wants to ban talk radio. Nancy Mussolini, the great liberal, wants to ban free speech because she finds it offensive. Will John McCain join those in the Republican conservative wing of the party who want to continue free speech in America by banning the so-called fairness doctrine? Has anyone asked the great John McCain that question, where he stands on that? Until I know where he stands on that, I don't know where I stand with him. All I know is this. He says he wants to model himself on Teddy Roosevelt. But I say to you, he sounds more and more like Eleanor Roosevelt. And until he starts to behave like Uncle Teddy as opposed to Eleanor, I'm not so sure I'm going to follow him up the hill. This is the Savage Nation. It's been a great show. I've really enjoyed it. Some of the old-time radio tapes, some of the topics, some of the fun. And the topics I've touched on are really so important. The most important being, guess who's running Fannie Mae and Fannie Mac? Well, there was Jamie Gorelick and Louis Free. There they are again. And it's on michaelsavage.com. And by the way, what's next? Who's next? What about the troubled banks? It's on the site as well. Is it your bank? Check it out, michaelsavage.com.
Savage.